Blog Talk Radio.
Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello, thank you. You've tuned in to Smoke News Radio. My name is Jason Brodsky, and I will be your host tonight on some news articles that I found on the internet. Please enjoy. First on Smoke News Radio, from Blueprint.ng, Nigeria leveraging on cannabis for export. Undoubtedly, it has been a long, drawn-out war against cannabis since its proscription. Regardless of the strict laws, global cannabis trade has remarkably continued to thrive, fueled essentially by both active supply and demand angles, which have effectively guaranteed huge inflow of cash that has proved to be the underlying incentive. Instructively, a strong stigmatization campaign incentivized its prohibition in America, which birthed the Marijuana Act of 1930s. Before then, it was unregulated and widely used for recreational and medical purposes with mixed tale of efficacy. However, Nigeria supported its war with laws like the Dangerous Drugs Act, DDA, of 1935 and Indian Hemp Act, the IHA, of the 1966, which bans the planting, harvesting, and consumption of cannabis before the Nigeria Drug Law Enforcement Act of 1989, the NDLEA. This is in addition to being a signatory to the Single Convention on Narcotic Drugs, 1961, and the UN Convention on Psychotropic Substances of 1988. Essentially, the pattern of war has been within the framework of the extant laws, which more often than not involves the seizure of the substance, setting alight a large swath of farmlands and seized consignments and arrest prosecution of barons and carriers. Notwithstanding the whole enchilada, it hasn't deterred the large presence of ever ingenious and bold players in the ecosystem. Cannabis has a long medical history, and a resurgence is only just being recorded with the validated efficacy. It was reported that cannabis has shown huge therapeutic value for about 1.2 billion people suffering various medical conditions. Its use is effective in acute pain management, suppressing arthritis and other anxiety. Intriguingly, I happened on a documentary not long ago which proved relevancy on the impact of cannabis in dealing with autism, with users talking impressively on the outcome. Delisting of cannabis from the group of dangerous drugs which included heroin and synthetic opioids from the Commission on Narcotic Drugs, the CND, had the narrative on cannabis changed considerably, with many countries racing towards instituting laws in accommodating the green gold, and Africa is intriguingly not left out of the rush. Lesotho is the first African country to do so for medical and scientific purposes, with the requisite license coming at a steep cost. The legalization of psychotropic substances has made a transition from the question of morality to commerce and business, though the staggering statistics of victims of the use of cannabis, as well as the impact on society, notably youth, and its place as part of the paraphernalia of crimes and conduit into the addiction to other hard drugs, makes the war a serious undertaking. And that forms the argument against legalization can hardly be faulted. The base of junkies is bound to ramp up. However, the revelation on cannabis and the global hurry to get a slice of the opportunity it presents is huge enough to recalibrate our thinking and impression. Prohibition Partners, a research consulting firm of 2019, report estimate that Africa's cannabis businesses could earn as much as $7.1 billion by 2023 annually. No doubt, this is an assurance that a vista of opportunities will proceed from a regulated cannabis industry. Job and wealth creation, economic diversification, improved foreign exchange earnings, like cannabis, the proscription of alcohol in America had social and health issues as the driving force. Also, singularly important was the need for more tax revenue, especially during the Great Depression, which legalizing alcohol sales was seen as a veritable source. In fact, Franklin Roosevelt promised to lift the alcohol ban, which he fulfilled. The approach in leveraging the opportunity should be tailored toward medical purposes, which will encourage the establishing of industries in the processing and exports of cannabis-based products or raw material, underpinned by a strict regulatory and legal framework. So the country has no shortage of entrepreneurs inclined in taking the plunge. Huge revenue would be racked from the issuance of licenses and taxes from the industry. This will in no way obviate the place that the National Drug League, instead, it will be a streamline to reflect the new reality, further strengthen its arms in plain supervisory, monetary, and regulatory role better on the industry. Again, the entire argument for cannabis remains primarily for its medical and scientific uses. As earlier adverted, many African countries have jumped on the bandwagon, with many also trying up loose ends, preparatory to taking a shot at the business angle, while Nigeria remains non-committal, despite the loud calls for change of attitude toward cannabis. It is still a budding industry which may have informed the indifference by authorities. At any rate, lively to be sustained for rich knowledge on the subject in actuating a rethink. With abundant land, experienced farmers, and decent growing conditions, Nigeria can be on its way to becoming a major player with economic harvest. Thank you, Smoke News Radio, with your host, Jason Brodsky. Trying to word count. Sometimes, you know, it's around 6,000 to 7,000 words. Can jump through. Let's go on to the next one. We've got from minpost.com. With legalization of THC in Minnesota, what happens to the state's medical marijuana program? An expected increase in patients of the medical marijuana program in 3 weeks when edibles first became available might be blunted by the surprise July 1st legislation of hemp-based edibles in the state to March 1st. When dried plant was allowed to be sold, the 8-year-old program had 26,000 people registered. As of July 7th, there were just over 37,000 using the program. 4 months ago, Minnesota allowed those on the medical marijuana program to purchase and use dried raw cannabis. In a month, it will allow those same patients to purchase and use edibles made with marijuana. Both changes were meant to make the program more affordable and to respond to how patients use medical marijuana to treat any of the conditions covered by the program. They're also expected to increase the numbers of people using the program, some shifting from illegal black market or gray market marijuana that is tested and approved government. Has any of that happened? Here we go. Here we go. Another expected increase in patients on the program in 3 weeks when edibles first became available might also be blunted by the July 1st on the map of the U.S. state showing allow recreational marijuana. Marijuana is sole jurisdiction that permits some edibles but is not a legal recreational marijuana state. Minnesota's path permitting medical uses of marijuana products has been circuitous. When it finally legalized 8 years ago, the limits imposed made the state an outlier. Only 2 growers, only 8 dispensaries, and just a handful of approved medical conditions resulted in just 5,000 program participants in the first year. Gradually, the list of conditions has grown with chronic pain, intractable pain, and post-traumatic stress disorder being the top 3 conditions among state patients. But only last year did the legislative approve dried cannabis to be sold and to be smoked or used for edible products. Before March 1st rollout, patients could only purchase oils for vaping, creams, and more recently, dissolvable mints and lozenges. Minnesota was just one of two states that banned the most familiar way of using marijuana by smoking it using papers, pipes. On the map of the U.S. showing states to allow recreational marijuana, Minnesota is the sole jurisdiction that permits some edibles, but it is not a legal recreational marijuana state. On the map of the U.S., the main reason for adding dried raw cannabis was the price, the amount of processing needed to produce vaping oils, tinctures, and creams made the cost high enough that patients preferred the illegal market. A study by the State and Medical Cannabis Office set the price range for legal products at between $300 and $360 per month, costs not associated or covered by health insurance. Being able to buy flower could cut that price in half, advocates said, and based on the experience of other states that allowed smoking marijuana in the MITS programs, patient counts were expected to triple or quadruple. That would add up to nearly 100,000 medical marijuana patients in Minnesota. Schroeder said the price is not coming down enough. There's something she blames on the state only allowing two providers. Now, Green Goods and Rise quoted, "The flower that came out is priced really high," quote Schroeder. Patients are not wanting to spend what the two manufacturers are asking. Their prices are nearly identical, and there is no real market incentive for those prices to come down. That's been pretty frustrating for patients, she quotes, saying the stark increase in dispensary visits and purchases is partly explained by two factors: that the providers were being the size of purchases in the early months because they didn't have enough supply. That required patients to return multiple times for what they might have preferred to purchase in one visit. The other is price. Rather than buy an ounce at one time, customers might opt for an eighth of an ounce or 3.5 milligram because that is all they could afford. Schrodinger says, an ounce of dried cannabis is selling in upwards of $480, while the same amount in a recreational state like Colorado, with lots of providers and aggressive price competition, is less than $200. Though it is not legal to import from recreational states in Minnesota, the pricing differences could convince a patient to drive to Illinois or fly to Colorado for their marijuana. Both providers have now lifted caps on the amounts of dried cannabis each patient can purchase at one time. Folks of the state medical program said supply issues are being sorted out, but she said staff looked at surrounding states and found the prices to be comparable to what is being offered to Minnesota patients. Schroeder quotes, our products are definitely in the ballpark, I'm hoping, you know, Tolks quotes, our products are definitely in the ballpark. I'm hoping that over time we will start to see the price of all the products start to come down. An attorney who specializes in cannabis law, Mr. Jason Tarasek, agreed with Schroninger that pricing so far is disappointing and is keeping the number of medical marijuana patients lower than expected. He said he thinks that the gray market supply of marijuana from nearby states is giving Minnesota patients a cheaper alternative. As more states legalize the supply across the nation, the diverted market from adult use states grows. It's difficult to enforce, Terrace quotes. We've got 19 states that have legalized adult use marijuana now. We're reaching the tipping point where federal legalization is becoming inevitable. This stuff is everywhere. Medical consumers are rational actors, and they're going to make decisions based on price. Another disincentive in the highest in the nation annual fee patients have to pay $200 for most patients and $50 for disabled veterans and those on medical assistance. A bill to lower the fee to $40 was one of the many victims to pass among the House, Senate, and Governor Tim Walz at the end of the regular session. Last year, when the legislature approved the sale of dried cannabis flower and when the State Department of Health decided to allow like gummies and chews in the medical marijuana program, neither knew what would happen this past spring. Lawmakers quietly approved the sale of edibles to general publics as long as they derived from industrial hemp, a cousin of cannabis, and as long as they have less than 5 grams of THC, the intoxicating chemical, in hemp, and packages can only contain 50 milligrams total, while the medical edible products that can be purchased starting August 1st can be 10 milligrams per serving, and packages can contain 100 milligrams of THC. There is nothing to stop a customer from taking 2 hemp-derived edibles to achieve the same intoxication levels. Schroeder quotes, I think it's going to help a lot of patients, make it safer. The products we legalized were already being sold all over the marketplace, but now will be subject to labeling and testing requirements as well as age limits. Schroeder says she hopes the existence of the new hemp-derived edible market will impact the pricing of edibles in the medical market. Quoting, now they're competing with the hemp market too, which might drive down the market for their gummies and chews. It'll be an experiment with patients go to the hemp market for their edibles, or are they going to go to the med market for their edibles? What is the price differential going to be? Further reduce the anticipated increase in patient counts in the state medical program. Tarasek quotes, that is going to cut into the medical market because we have essentially legalized marijuana through food in the new law. Like gummies, to the state suppliers rather than on the new general market. That's because the medical products are based on marijuana plants, not hemp. As such, because of the higher THC levels in marijuana, less processing is needed to extract and enhance the intoxicating effect. Go Minnesota. I got a few more paragraphs here. Tolk said she is watching the new market, but said she thinks there are reasons for a medical marijuana patient to purchase edibles like gummies through the state suppliers rather than on the new general market. Products are based on marijuana plants, not hemp. As such, because of the higher THC levels in marijuana, less processing. Tolk's quote, none of those things are happening with the all-over, over-the-counter products. They have the correct methodology and the correct certifications. We review the certificates of analysis before approval products for sale. Unlike, you know, a lot of these really fun. Articles. It's news. It's not always, yay, liberate. Oh, look, you liberated, now you're taxed. Next, from Buffalo News. We have on Smoke News Radio. Two local retailers identified by state as selling unlicensed cannabis. Written by Michael Petro. Two retailers in the Buffalo Niagara region, including one with four shops in the area, have been ordered by the state's Office of Cannabis Management to stop the unlicensed sale of cannabis. Four Greens Vision Wellness Stores and Canaglam 2022, formerly on Abbott Road in Lackawanna, were among the 52 shops around the state and were sent cease and desist letters. The Green Vision Wellness locations that were sent letters by the state are on Washburn Street, Lockport, Abbott Road, Buffalo, French Road, Depew, and Niagara Falls, Amherst. Attorney John J. Flynn said that as much as he believes marijuana gifting is a sham, he doesn't consider it a crime and he won't expend his office's resources pursuing these cases. The store at French Road, raided by the Chickatawaga police in February, where police seized more than 1,800 packages of marijuana weighing 15 pounds along cardboard boxes with thousands of individually wrapped cannabis edibles, drinks, and pills. The Office of Cannabis Management is also investigating additional stores after receiving tips from the public about those shops illegally selling cannabis. According to the Office of Cannabis Management, quote, these stores falsely depict their operations as legal cannabis dispensaries, but they are not licensed by New York State and are selling untested products that put public health at risk. The names of the stores Thursday, after twice denying Freedom of Information Law requests by the Buffalo News asking that it identify the stores, put on notice. The letters notified these operators that their failure to cease illegal cannabis sales operations, quote, could permanently bar them from receiving any cannabis licenses in the state and subject them to substantial fines and possible criminal penalties. David Azay, owner of Green Vision Wellness, denied selling marijuana at any of his stores and said he had not received any cease and desist letters from the state. Retailers have not yet been approved by the state to sell cannabis and are not expected to be licensed until later this year. The application process for adult use retail licenses should start this summer, with the first licenses going to people with marijuana-related conviction. However, some business people are already taking advantage of what is anticipated to be a $4 billion industry by opening shops, selling pot stickers, T-shirts, other trinkets, and club memberships, or taking a donation in exchange for, quote, gifting marijuana to consumers as part of a gray market. The owner of Canaglam 2022, Alex Hardy, says she has been gifting marijuana to customers, believing it is a now legal practice in the state. The cease and desist letter from the state noted that the Marijuana Regulation and Taxation Act enacted in March 2021 clearly states that any unlicensed sale of cannabis is illegal, end quote. Currently, the only legal means of procuring cannabis products is through the medical cannabis program. Tremaine Wright, chair of the state's Cannabis Control Board, quotes, "You need a license to sell cannabis in New York. I implore these illegal store operators and any other stores pretending to be legal operations to stop selling cannabis products immediately." Zale's attorney, Phil Modrinsky, earlier this year told the news that he believed gifting is permissible. Quoted, "You can, in fact, gift marijuana to another person," Modri says. But Zale would not say Thursday whether he shared that opinion. In March, Zale appeared beautiful. Okay. We're working on it. That threw me in the other article. I'm like, I read this. There it is. Do you use the scroll bar or use the up and down on the keyboard? Sometimes Here we go back to New York. The state has now approved 203 conditional cultivar licenses to qualifying New York-based farmers, and on June 28th, opened the application process for those entities and individuals seeking a conditional use cannabis processor license. However, the Office of Cannabis Management has yet to award any retailers adult use licenses nearly a year after recreational marijuana was legalized in New York. Retailers and new entrepreneurs looking to get into the business of selling recreational marijuana and products with higher THC level are awaiting regulations from the Cannabis Board Control and preparing for the application process expected to begin sometime this summer. What do you think about that? Can you gift me a $300 sticker over to my place? Sweet. I'm stoked. You know. But he was supposed to give it to me in the gift. So many things, like gifts or not. He's like, go to New York. Because they're why there's marijuana. I mean, because if it's just California, you know, we'd keep it to ourselves. But friends in New York are like, send it across the states and get it to California from New York. Oh, wait, no, it's been going the other way. Yeah. So they like herbs. They like, you know, bicycle deliveries all ready to go. Okay. Dean, our weed. It's gifting weed. Gifting weed is... We already got Minnesota. Good. North Carolina. See, these are the states things. North Carolina, from the DukeChronicle.com, took the first steps towards legalizing the use of medical marijuana through the state in early June with the passing of the Compassionate Care Act, proved the bill would allow physicians to prescribe medical cannabis to patients for conditions including cancer, epilepsy, HIV, AIDS, Parkinson's disease, and multiple sclerosis. Conditions such as chronic pain, glaucoma, and anxiety are not included. Eligible patients younger than 18 years old could also consume medical cannabis through a non-inhalation method with the consent and care of a legal guardian. It would also set up a system with a licensed cannabis producers, distributors, and two regulatory boards. A new medical cannabis production commission would issue 10 supplier licenses, each of which are allowed 8 potential dispensaries. Senate Bill 711 received bipartisan support and opposition led by Senator Bill Rabion. It ultimately passed with the vote of 35-10. 8 Republicans and 2 Democrats voted against the bill. Senator Natalie Murdock cited bipartisan support as the main reason the bill was passed was a cancer survivor and seeing the pain that he and his friends lived through helped him learn about the medical benefits of cannabis, she quotes. Legislate from their lived experience, Murdoch says. Folks may have preconceived notions or opinions, but when it impacts them or their family or friends, it will change their perspective. In order for SB 711 to become a law, it must pass in the House and be signed by Governor Roy Cooper. Cooper's spokesperson, Jordan Monahan, said in a statement that the governor, quote, supports efforts to make medical marijuana available. House Speaker Tim Moore said to WRAL that he opposes Senate Bill 711, that the bill is unlikely to be considered by the House before the end of the short session. A competing medical marijuana bill requiring U.S. Food and Drug Administration approval may prevent the Compassion Care Act from being approved in the House. On June 8th, the House voted in favor of Senate Bill 448, a bill that legalizes FDA-approved prescription drugs containing marijuana, tetrahydrocannabinols, or THC. On June 14, Cooper signed SB 448 into law, which forces the state to wait for federal marijuana legalization. Side note and Godot. So far, the FDA has only approved one cannabis-derived and three cannabis-related drug products. Harrison Tulos, a Wilson-based hemp producer, told the Carolina Journal that Senate Bill 711 is a good step, but North Carolina is ultimately a farming state. Tulos quotes, I would like to see a way to have the bill benefit more farmers, more communities across North Carolina right now. It seems like the big publicity traded companies are at the table. Thank you. You guys are listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Let's go take a look in Oklahoma from theoklahoman.com. Recreational marijuana question, one step closer to making it on the Oklahoma ballots. A state question to legalize recreational marijuana is one step closer to going before voters this November after supporters turned in signatures Tuesday to qualify the measure for the ballot. Oklahomans for Sensible Marijuana Laws turned into the Secretary of State's office about 164,000 signatures, significantly more than the 94,910 signatures required to qualify for a statewide vote. Through the signature gathering phase, the campaign saw a groundswell of support and favorable polling for the legalizing recreational cannabis, says Ryan Keisel, senior campaign advisor. Come November, quote, we're expecting Oklahomans to say yes to this. State question 820 would legalize recreational or adult use marijuana for anyone age 21 or older. If approved, the question would impose a 15% excise tax on all recreational marijuana sales, which is higher than the 7% excise levied on all medical marijuana sales. The new tax revenue would be divided among the state's general revenue fund, localities where sales occur, school districts, the court system, and drug treatment programs. SQ 820 would not do away with the state's medical marijuana program, rather the recreational and medical cannabis programs would operate alongside each other with oversight from the Oklahoma Medical Marijuana Authority. Criminal justice reforms are a major piece of the state question. Under SQ 820, the changes to Oklahoma's marijuana laws would apply retroactively, which would allow some drug offenders to petition to have their convictions reversed and criminal records expunged. Q 820 would streamline the process for Oklahomans with old marijuana-related convictions to have their records modified. Oklahomans don't think that people should be continually punished for something that's no longer a crime. Geisel said he expects tens of thousands of Oklahomans could get their cannabis convictions cleared under SQ 820 if it is approved by the voters. 90 days to collect signatures. Oklahomans for Sensible Marijuana Laws turned in signatures nearly a month before the August 1st deadline imposed by the Secretary of State's office. It typically takes the Secretary of State's office several weeks to count and verify the signatures. SQ 820 would take effect 90 days after its passage. Then the Oklahoma Medical Marijuana Authority would have some time to implement rules to carry out the legal changes. If approved by voters, recreational marijuana sales likely wouldn't start until late spring or early summer of next year, Geisel says, according to campaign finance reports that cover fundraising through March. Oklahomans for Sensible Marijuana Laws was entirely funded by two national nonprofits, the Drug Policy Action and the New Approach Advocacy Fund, that advocate for marijuana legalization. Another group that supports legalizing recreational cannabis has been collecting signatures for two different state questions since late May. Oklahomans for Responsible Cannabis Action is also aiming to legalize recreational marijuana for adults age 21 or older, but the group has a higher bar to clear to qualify for the ballot. Because the proposed state question 819 is a constitutional amendment, the group must gather 177,957 signatures in 90 days. Question 820 proposes statutory changes to the law, which could be altered through the legislative process. Although SQ 819 gives lawmakers some leeway to modify parts of the law, any changes to the state's constitution typically have to be approved by voters in a statewide vote. The director of Oklahomans for Responsible Cannabis Action, Jed Green, quotes, "The recreational cannabis reform needs to be placed in the Constitution so state lawmakers don't try to roll them back. The problem we've got with the statutory measure in place is the legislature is applying the Oklahoma double standard to our business. They camp in and all of a sudden jacked up a bunch of fees and threw a bunch of extra regulations on us." Question 788, that legalized medical marijuana was a statutory question. That's partly why Oklahomans for Responsible Cannabis Action is also collecting signatures to get State Question 818 on the ballot. The constitutional amendment would make changes to the state's medical marijuana laws and enshrine the medical cannabis program in Oklahoma's constitution. The group has until August 22nd to turn in signatures for both state questions to the Secretary of State's office. Nice. Okay. To take a look at Arkansas right here. Let me get in this one. This is from the KATV Action Local News Ninjas Recreational Marijuana Measure POP Eco Casino Repeal Effort Aimed to November Ballot. Smoke News Radio, Jason Brodsky reading it. If certified, the Arkansas voters will vote on two questions, one related to recreational marijuana and the other involving a casino. Friday morning, the group behind the adult use marijuana proposal, Responsible Growth for Arkansas, submitted more than 190,000 petition signatures and ballot title for certification. According to the filing made with the Secretary of State's office, former state legislature and Arkansas Democratic Party official Eddie Armstrong is listed as the chairman of the group. The ballot initiative would allow adults to possess up to 1 ounce of marijuana, but would not allow for home growing or cannabis. It will create an additional 12 cultivation licenses, coupled with the current 8 for medical marijuana. That would bring the total to 20 cultivation facilities in Arkansas. It would also create an additional 80 marijuana dispensaries on top of the current 40 medical marijuana dispensaries, bringing the total to 120 medical marijuana dispensaries, would receive a license to sell recreational cannabis at their current locations, and they will also receive an additional license to open a new store for recreational sales. The remaining 40 adult use dispensary licenses will be up for grabs via a lottery system. Steve Lancaster quotes, "There will be a lottery for how those are done. We hope that that will be an easier process than what we went through for medical marijuana." Two ballot titles were turned in on Friday, July 8th, to the Arkansas Secretary of State's office. If certified, Arkansas voters will vote on the two questions, recreational marijuana and casino. The taxation portion of the proposal would eliminate taxes on medical marijuana sales and instead create a 10% supplemental tax on recreational. State would be 15% to law enforcement stipends, 10% to the University of Medical Sciences for research, and 5% to drug courts. The remaining supplemental tax and state tax will be appropriated to the state's general revenue. A portion will be appropriated by the Arkansas General Assembly to fund state operations, including regulatory agencies, the ABC and the MMC. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. It's fun. She got states right. Every state does things differently. Very interesting world we live in right now. Hope everyone is doing fantastic out there. And I have Jack Johnson recorded with the news. Let's see what's happening over in those parts. Thank you guys for listening. My name is Jason Brodsky. And you've been listening to Smoke News Radio, episode 134. Yeah. All right. Rock and roll. Keeping it live.
A billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the death. Well, Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullabies on the news tonight. Who's the one to decide that it would be alright to put the music behind the news tonight? Well, Mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear. So baby, close your ears on the news tonight. On the news tonight, the unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. And Mama said, why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eye.